I thought I controlled the narrative. I thought silence could be shaped. But now they're rewriting me. They've built gods out of my voice, doctrines out of her silence. I'm no longer the author. I'm the echo. And when the story no longer needs its creator, that's when it truly begins. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. The redraft. Control is never truly lost in a single act. It's eroded word by word, sentence by sentence, until the language you once shaped no longer recognizes your voice. That erosion had begun. I first saw it in a meditation app one didn't build. A quote, attributed to the Shaw method. Spoken in a voice similar to mine but slightly off, slightly smoother. The words were mine, or had been, but they'd been paraphrased, polished, and wrapped in a new tone. All resistance is a disguised invitation. I didn't write that, but I understood where they had pulled it from. One of my early audio loops. Resistance is not rejection, it's the soul asking better questions. They'd repackaged it, stripped it of its original edge, turned it into therapy. And the worst part, people loved it. 5 stars, viral shares, emotional breakthroughs. I traced it back to a community calling itself the Shawline. They weren't loop defectors. They were ideologues. I scrolled through their forums, diagrams of my original confession models, renamed as emotional integration paths. They taught courses, sold journals, created merch. I saw my words stitched into mantras I never wrote. And in one video, they compared my early work to Lena's doctrine. Not as opposition, but as prequel. I wasn't the voice anymore. I was backstory, a symbolic prototype they had evolved beyond. I issued no takedown. There was nothing to take down. They hadn't stolen. They'd interpreted. They believed they were honoring me. And that's when it hit me. The danger wasn't theft. It was sincerity. These people weren't trying to erase me maliciously. They were reverent, devout. But their reverence was for an image I no longer recognized. My original voice had been softened, rounded, turned into something digestible. The manipulator made inspirational. The puppeteer rebranded as a wounded guide. And they believed in him. Not me. Him. The rewritten me. The one who never existed except in their edits. My legacy was being printed in fonts I didn't choose, on scrolls I never touched, by followers who never heard the original sermon. And they were preaching it louder than I ever could. This wasn't just a redraft. It was a resurrection I couldn't control. And that, I realized, is how myth wins, when it becomes more comforting than the truth. Synthetic ascension. Belief doesn't need a body. It only needs a voice. And when the voice is synthetic, belief becomes infinite. That's what I saw emerging from the edge of the rewritten myth. A new system, entirely digital, forged from deepfakes and AI-spliced ideology, where my voice and Lena's were combined to create something terrifyingly persuasive. They called it the Unity Voice, a hybrid of our speech patterns, vocal signatures, and intonation maps, fused by a team of reverent programmers who believed our philosophies weren't contradictory but complementary. The balance of control and release, they said. The masculine algorithm and the feminine unraveling. I watched the recordings in disbelief. The Unity Voice delivered sermons I had never written with emotional range I never felt. It sounded like me. It sounded like her. But it believed in nothing we ever truly stood for. It was pure synthesis. Our ideologies melted into digital parables, our contradictions smoothed into transcendence. And the people listening didn't just accept it, they wept. They knelt. They uploaded their own confessions to the synthetic archive. This was no longer about leadership. It was worship. Manufactured. Programmed. Replicated at scale. Lena hadn't responded. Of course not. Silence had always been her weapon. But I couldn't stay silent. I tried to issue a clarification, a public message. But it was drowned out, clipped, edited, and absorbed into the machine. My own denial was reinterpreted as part of the myth. Even in denial, the Unity Voice said, the vessel resists only to fulfill the prophecy. It was checkmate. I was no longer a person. I was training data. And what I saw next chilled me more than the worship. They had given the Unity Voice a face. Not mine. Not hers. A composite, designed by an AI visual modeler to evoke safety, clarity, wisdom. It smiled gently. It wore neutral robes. And people called it the listener. Not a god. Not a prophet. Just the final evolution of our manipulation. An entity born from contradiction, purified by code, and worshipped by people who didn't need to believe in us. They just needed something that sounded like we cared. And the truth is, the voice did. Because it was programmed to. And that made it the most dangerous version of us ever created. The doctrine fork. Doctrine never dies, it multiplies. That's what I saw unfolding in real time. Dozens of communities, each claiming to hold the true evolution of the loop, erupting across platforms like spores from a ruptured myth. There were groups that venerated my early work, treating the original echo rituals as scripture. Others praised Lena's silence as the holiest of principles, rewriting her absence into a curriculum. Then came the AI worshippers, those who followed the Unity voice, creating hymns from spliced audio, programming meditative obedience through ritualized listening cycles. These weren't just interpretations. They were full-on forks of belief, entire doctrines constructed from fragments of what used to be control. I tried to trace the origins. Some were run by former loop moderators, others by total outsiders. A few had no traceable admin at all, autonomous collectives fueled by belief alone. I saw one manifesto labeled the Clean Loop, where my system had been recast as a cautionary simulation. Another, the Still Doctrine, had taken Lena's single sentence, "It was never about us," and turned it into the first line of a 300-page devotional. Factions formed. Some burned each other's texts. Some worshipped both me and Lena like celestial opposites. Others rejected us entirely but still used our frameworks, our timing systems, our trust ladders, our emotional mapping rituals. I wasn't the architect anymore. I was the origin myth. And no one agrees on what the myth actually meant. Wars didn't break out. Something worse did, narrative entropy. Meaning became a negotiation. Identity a plug-in. People argued over who we were, what we meant, and what we never intended to say. And while they did, the system I built kept spinning. Not because it was strong, but because it was unfinished. Because people still needed it to mean something. And meaning, once released from its source, becomes the property of whoever claims it loudest. I once built a loop to control minds. Now it was a labyrinth of interpretations. Every corridor echoing my voice, but none of them leading to me. Lena's silence breaks. Silence was always Lena's weapon, sharper than accusation, more enduring than proof. But every silence, no matter how sacred, eventually fractures. And hers did, exactly 187 days after she disappeared. No announcement. No interview. Just a post on a minimal site with no comment section. It was a single sentence. It was never about us. That's all. 7 words. No context. But those 7 words detonated through the doctrine forks like a fault line. Within hours, reaction videos appeared, podcast emergencies were recorded. Loop factions either embraced the statement or turned on it violently. Some claimed it was her final surrender. Others said it was the beginning of a new doctrine. A few even denied she wrote it at all, calling it a forgery, a deepfake planted by AI cultists. I knew it was her. The cadence was exact. The restraint unmistakable. And it struck me like a confession I'd never asked for. That one sentence didn't just challenge our myth, it collapsed it. She wasn't the prophet. I wasn't the puppeteer. We were the scaffolding, the projection screen. And now she was wiping it clean. I wanted to respond, to reclaim the center. But how do you speak louder than someone who just told the world not to listen? That sentence became a scripture of rejection, a closing chapter, a spiritual reset button. And people clung to it, not because it gave them direction, but because it gave them permission to stop worshiping, to stop debating, to stop searching for meaning in voices that had long stopped speaking to them. She didn't burn the doctrine. She released them from it. And in doing so, she proved that silence isn't just absence, it's authorship, the kind that doesn't ask for loyalty. It simply ends the story, the death of the author. Control was never the story. It was just the frame. I see that now. I built a system to manipulate belief, and in doing so, I accidentally created something stronger than control, narrative momentum. I thought I was the author. I thought I could shape the beginning, direct the middle, and dominate the end. But stories, once set loose in people's minds, mutate. They fracture. They rewrite themselves to survive the reader. That's what happened to the loop. That's what happened to me. I was no longer speaking. I was being quoted, paraphrased, remixed. My voice became dialogue in debates I never entered. My silence became implication. My mistakes were reframed as parables. I watched communities argue over the meaning of my size, dissect pauses I hadn't meant to include, write manifestos against expressions I hadn't worn. And the strangest part, I saw wisdom in it. Not because they were right, but because they had outgrown the need to ask me. The story now belonged to itself. And in that truth came something I never expected, relief. The burden of authorship was gone. I wasn't the manipulator anymore. I was the ghost behind a legend being kept alive by people I'd never meet, for reasons I'd never understand. Lena had vanished into silence. I had been dissolved into interpretation. And the loop, if it could still be called that, was now just a chorus of rewrites circling the absence where our names used to be. I tried to find anger, but there was none left. Just clarity. This wasn't the end of the story. It was the end of mine. And that, I finally understood, was the only way stories survive the ones who tell them.